Victoria Police Force presents D-24. From the files of the Victoria Police, for the first time, come these true stories of unceasing war against crime, of day and night vigilance that protects our life and our property, and of the nerve center of the Police Information Bureau, D-24.
Car 21 to D-24. Yes, D-24.
There's a woman being attacked in a lane off Osborne Street, South Melbourne, 21. Investigate, please.
This is the true story of the eyewitness. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. This is a most unusual story. It's also a fine example of painstaking, determined police work. We're not going to dwell on the crime, for it was a particularly unpleasant one. Instead, we want to take you step by step with the police as they solved a most puzzling murder. It happened in South Melbourne one Saturday afternoon during the Second World War. The first the police knew about it was when a man phoned D-24 and advised them of a disturbance in a narrow lane. D-24 immediately took action.
Car 21 to D-24. Yes, D-24.
There's a woman being attacked in a lane off Osborne Street, South Melbourne, 21. Will you investigate, please? We're advising ambulance. The time now is 15:58. Over.
Right, D-24. We're on the way. This must be the place.
Yes, there she is, lying about 30 yards up.
Come on. Looks pretty bad, doesn't she? Someone's done a very thorough job.
Still breathing?
Only just. See if there's a name in that handbag over there, friend.
Right.
And you take what measurements you can of her position, Bill, as quickly as possible.
Okay.
We'll have to get her to hospital as soon as the ambulance turns up.
Give me a hand, will you, Tom? Here's an identity card, Senior.
Let's see. Margaret Champion, Dorcas Street, South Melbourne, eh? Well, she's a local anyway. Better pick up her hat, Fred. What's that lying near her head?
It looks like a man's handkerchief.
I'll take that, too. Here's the ambulance, chap, so get a move on. Anything else lying around that could be useful?
Doesn't look like it. Unless you want that great bluestone paving stone that's right beside her.
Shouldn't think it'd be of much use. A whole heap of them further down the lane.
Wonder why this one's up this end on its own.
Search me. Kid's been playing with it, I suppose.
Kids? Take a pretty hefty kid to lift that. Must weigh 50 pounds at least.
Well, I don't see what's got to do with us. No blood or anything on it, is there?
No, not that I can see.
Oh, we'll leave it.
What's the score, Constable?
Not too sure, but she's been pretty badly knocked about.
Can we move her into the ambulance now?
Yes, you'd better, quick as you can.
Right.
Go on, Harry.
Okay.
Fred.
Yes, Senior.
Report back to D-24, will you? Let them know what's happened and tell them it's a job for the CIB.
Right.
Bill,
Yes?
You ride in the ambulance with the woman and see what the doctors have to say.
All right.
Meanwhile, we'll see if anyone can give us some information.
But when the men from the CIB arrived on the scene, the patrolmen could give them little further information. Someone suggested that the injured woman had been drinking at a nearby hotel, but that was about all. No one came forward with anything really useful. Late into the night and all through the following day, inquiries went on. And then, early on the Monday morning, Margaret Champion died. The CIB had a murder in its hands. And so on the Monday morning, detectives again made a painstaking search in the lane in the hope of finding even the smallest clue.
Well, if there's a clue anywhere around here, it's too well hidden for me. Well,
there's only one thing we haven't done.
What?
Check on this garage place that runs almost the entire length of the lane.
Yeah, I doubt if we'll get much out there. It was closed all Saturday afternoon, wasn't it?
Yes, all yesterday, too. But we'll check on it all the same.
All right. Let's go in the side door. Noisy place, isn't it?
I'll say. Anyone about?
Young chap under that old truck. Try him first. Hey! Hey, son!
Speak up, he'll never hear you.
Hey, son!
Aye!
Come out from there, will you? We want to talk to you.
Just a sec. What do you want?
We're police from the CIB.
Aye!
We're police. Where's your boss?
Where's what?
Where's your boss?
Out.
Well, who's in charge here?
I don't know.
Oh, look, come outside for a minute. We can't talk here.
Righto.
That's better. Now, look, son, we're detectives from the CIB.
Oh.
We're investigating a murder in this lane on Saturday afternoon.
You mean the woman died?
I'm afraid so. Early this morning.
Crikey. Didn't know it was as bad as that.
Oh, you've heard about it, have you?
Heard about it? I reckon I saw the whole thing happen.
Detectives are used to shocks. But those handling this case could hardly believe their ears when the young motor mechanic claimed to have actually seen the murder. But the lad was emphatic.
I was working back, see, me and Bert Marshall. I had an urgent job to finish, and I never did mind a bit of overtime anyway.
Yes.
Well, we just got the job done, see, and I was coming down the back of the garage to clean up a bit, see. And just as I was passing the side door, I heard a noise coming from the lane.
What sort of noise?
It was a woman. She was singing out a bit.
What was she saying?
Something like, "Don't do it."
And what did you do?
Well, there's a bit of a crack in the door. Look, see where those boards don't fit too well.
Yes, I do.
So I decided to have a squiz of what was going on outside. So I looked through the crack in the door.
And what was going on?
There was a man and a woman there. And they was fighting. He was knocking her about pretty bad. And she fell over.
Yeah?
Well, I didn't know what to do. It's none of my business. Well, I thought it was just a couple of drunks or a bloke beating up his missus or something. The drunks often come up this way on Saturday afternoon, so I just watched them for a few minutes.
Yeah, I see. And then?
Then, after a bit, I went and told my mate Bert what was going on. And he came down and had a look too.
Was the fight still going on?
Well, no, it wasn't. The woman was just lying there and the bloke was looking at her. Then Bert said we ought to call the coppers, and off he went.
Now, was it Bert who called at the police station?
No, it wasn't. He went across the street to where Mr. Smith lives, and Mr. Smith came over and had a look through the crack of the door himself.
Oh, yes, yes.
By this time, the bloke in the lane had walked away a bit, but the woman was still there.
So what did you do then?
I just stayed watching. But Mr. Smith said he was going to the police station.
And Bert?
Oh, I don't know where he went, but he pushed off somewhere.
So that you were left on your own?
Yes. And that was when I saw the bloke walking back up the lane carrying one of those great rocks.
Those what?
He was carrying one of those bluestone rocks.
What, you mean a block of stone like that one lying over there?
Yeah. I reckon that was the block he was carrying.
Why?
Because that's just about the place the woman was lying.
Yes.
And the bloke just walked up to her, held the block of stone as high as he could over her head, and dropped it.
And you saw all this happen and did nothing about it?
What was I supposed to do?
Well, you might have called out or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I might.
You might have saved that woman's life.
Yeah.
Well, however, it's too late now. But tell me, do you think you could recognize the man again?
Well, reckon I could.
Well, you were watching him for quite a while, weren't you?
Reckon I was.
Then could you describe him to us?
Describe him?
Yes, tell us what he was wearing, the colour of his hat.
He wasn't wearing a hat.
Well, the colour of his hair, anything like that that might help us find him.
Want me to describe him now?
Yes, we do. And try to remember every detail. The smallest thing might be very important.
Armed with the valuable information given to them by the young motor mechanic, the detective started off on a search for the man he described. One of their first tasks was to advise police everywhere of the wanted man's description. And D-24 flashed the details throughout the state.
Here is the wanted man's description. About 5 feet 10 inches tall, strong build, dark hair, very sunburned complexion. Last seen wearing navy blue suit, open-necked blue shirt with collar attached, black shoes or boots. I'll repeat that description.
Sunburnt complexion, navy blue suit, blue shirt, black shoes or boots. Of course, there were scores of men in Melbourne who could answer that description, but it was a start in the right direction. The movements of dozens of likely suspects were checked. Every now and again, something would turn up that looked really promising, but always the leads were false. And then, nearly a fortnight later, Detective Sergeant Williams was called urgently to the city morgue.
You're looking for a man in connection with the murder of Margaret Champion, aren't you, Sergeant?
That's right.
Well, just an hour ago, a man was brought in from the Yarra. He'd been in the river quite a while, but in some ways, he resembles the description of the man you're looking for.
Yeah, does he? Could he be identified, do you think?
Afraid not. But his build is something like the man you want. And have a look at this blue shirt.
Where'd you get that?
It was in the dead man's pocket. Wasn't your man wearing a blue shirt?
Yes, he was.
And here's another thing.
A pawn ticket?
Yes. It's almost indecipherable now, but you can just see the address of the pawnbroker if you look carefully. And there's one very interesting thing about it.
Oh?
Yes. The date's still on it. It's the date of the Monday after the murder.
Was this to be the end of the search? Had the murderer drowned himself rather than face the consequences of his crime? In just a few moments, we'll continue this true story from the files of the Victoria Police. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. The discovery of the drowned body of a man answering to the general description of the murderer of Margaret Champion was of intense interest to the investigating detectives, particularly as it had in his possession a blue shirt. The eyewitness to the murder had stated that the killer had been wearing a blue shirt. Taking the pawn ticket that had been found in the dead man's pocket, the detectives hurried to interview the pawnbroker, And now it seemed the trail was really getting hot, for the pawnbroker gave them some extremely interesting information.
Yes, I know the bloke I gave that ticket to.
Yes.
A fellow by the name of Jack Ross. Comes from Sydney.
And what did he pawn here?
A suit.
What sort of suit?
A navy blue suit.
Jim, I want you to have a good look at this suit.
Yeah?
Well, go on, look at it.
I'm looking.
You ever seen it before?
I don't know. Just looks like a blue suit to me.
Do you think it could possibly be the blue suit the man we're looking for was wearing on the afternoon of the murder?
Might be. I don't know.
Now, Jim, this might be the answer to our whole problem. Do try to help.
Oh, I am trying. But you can't tell from just a crumpled old suit. Now, if I was to see the bloke that owns it, dressed in it...
I'm afraid you can't do that.
Why not?
Because he's dead.
He's dead? The bloke that killed the woman?
That's what we're trying to find out. And you're the only one who can help us.
Oh, well, if I could only see the bloke in the suit.
You really think you could identify him if you did?
Well, I reckon so. Oh,
all right. We'll try anything once.
Of course, the detectives couldn't do exactly what Jim wanted, but they did the next best thing. They contacted Sydney, and from there obtained a photograph of the drowned man, Jack Ross.
There's the picture, Sergeant.
Thanks. Now take it around to the photographic section. Get them to blow me up a life size of the head only. Understand?
Right.
And tell them to make it fast.
Right.
Hello. That you, Mick? Sergeant Williams here. Yeah. Did you get that tailor's dummy? Good. The right size to fit that blue suit, I hope. Good. Then put the suit on it. Oh, and the blue shirt, too. And in a few minutes, I'll be bringing you a life-size picture of the man's face. We'll fasten that on somehow and then take a photo of the whole effect. Then maybe that witness of mine will really be able to do a job for us. I hope so, anyway. Righto. Be down in a few minutes. Goodbye.
Detective Sergeant Williams was nothing if not thorough. But he knew his only chance was to make things as easy as possible for his youthful eyewitness. And so, soon afterwards, he proudly and hopefully showed Jim a photo of the tailor's dummy dressed in Jack Ross's blue suit and with Ross's face superimposed on it.
Well, Jim, what do you say? Is that the man you saw?
Looks like the same sort of suit, doesn't it?
Yeah, you've got to tell me that.
And his hair's dark, too.
Jim, is that the man?
No, it's not.
It's not? You're sure of that?
Positive.
All right, Jim. That's all for the present.
I can go?
Yes, thanks. You can go.
Okay. See you some more.
Well, and so we start all over again.
And so they started all over again. But days turned into weeks, and a killer seemed likely to go scot-free. And perhaps he would have, if the detectives had not been quite so painstaking. You'll remember I said earlier that this crime took place during wartime. You'll also remember that during wartime, every civilian had to register for national service. And so the detectives called at a drill hall in South Melbourne.
I'm Detective Sergeant Williams, CIB, Captain.
Yes, Sergeant. What can I do for you?
You keep the National Service registration cards here.
Yeah, we do.
And they give full descriptions of the applicants, eh?
That's right.
Well, we'd like to go through every application form you have.
Everyone?
Everyone. They may help us find a man we're looking for.
Well, you're welcome, of course, but I doubt if you realize the job you've got ahead of you.
Quite a few cards here, I suppose.
Quite a few. You'll be interested to know that there are nearly 11,000.
Yes, there were nearly 11,000 cards. The detectives went through every single one of them. The result was that they pulled out about a dozen that might conceivably refer to the wanted man. Even then, it was a remote chance, for the man might have registered at one of many other places in Melbourne. And the next job was to interview the 12 or so men. And one by one, they were eliminated, until they came to the very last on the list.
Your name, Alf Neil?
Who's asking?
Police here. I'm Detective Sergeant Williams. This is Detective Douglas.
What's it all about?
Could you remember where you were on Saturday afternoon, September the 21st?
Aye? Crikey, it's a dickens of a long time ago.
Yes, I know, about 2 months.
Why, what do you want to know, anyway?
And can you remember?
I don't think I can.
What do you usually do on a Saturday afternoon?
Different things.
What things?
Go to the footy sometimes, or the G's. Sometimes go to the pub for a few drinks.
What pub?
That was special.
I see. Well, we'd be very glad if you'd think back and try to remember just what you were doing on September the 21st. We're making inquiries about the death of a woman named Margaret Champion at South Melbourne on that date.
Alf Neil eventually remembered that he'd been drinking on the fatal Saturday afternoon. So the detectives went to a hotel in the vicinity of the murder.
You ever heard of a man named Alf Neil?
Alf Neil? Yep.
Does he ever drink here?
Oh, now and again.
Yeah. Been here lately?
No. Now that you come to mention it, he hasn't.
You couldn't remember the last time he was here?
No, I clutch as I could.
Oh? When?
The day that woman was murdered up the lane.
You're sure he was here that day?
Yeah, he was. Had quite a few, too.
He was here all the afternoon?
Oh, a good bit of it.
You can't remember what time he left?
No, I can't. Went off well before closing time, I think. He usually does when he's had a few. Jumps in a cab and goes home.
In a taxi?
Yeah. There's a taxi service just down the road.
Yes, we've already checked the drivers there, but, well, we'd better do it again. Do you remember we were here a few weeks ago inquiring about the passengers you carried on Saturday, September the 21st?
Yeah. The day that woman was killed in the lane.
That's right. And you said then that you could remember no one that might be any help to us.
That's right.
Well, now we have reason to believe that you picked up a man from the hotel on the next corner during the afternoon.
Did I?
As a man who'd been drinking a good deal.
Oh, yeah. Now that you come to mention it, there was one bloke. I wouldn't take him at first. I don't like driving drunks. Then I got a call that'd take me his way, so I told him to jump in.
You know the name of the man?
No.
Can you remember what he was wearing?
Wait a minute. Yes, I can. A blue shirt and a blue suit. Pretty grubby it was, too. Looked to me like he'd been in a fight.
And so, gradually, witnesses came forward who could prove that Alf Neil had been in the vicinity of the crime when it had happened. The detectives learned that he'd left the hotel for a short while at approximately the time of the murder. And so, Alf Neil was taken to Russell Street headquarters.
Well, now, Neil, we've agreed that you were drinking at the Lion Hotel on the afternoon of the 21st of September.
Yes.
Now, what are you wearing?
Blue suit.
What colour shirt?
Blue.
Tie?
Didn't have a tie. Had my shirt open at the neck.
Shoes? What colour?
Black.
Hat?
Never wear one.
Oh, I see. Do you know a lane that runs off Osborne Street?
Yeah.
Were you in that lane on that afternoon?
Oh, might have been.
Did you see anyone in the lane that day?
Yes.
A man or a woman?
Woman.
Something happened in that lane that day.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Been worried about it ever since. Don't know why I did it. Never done anything like this before. Don't know why I did it. I must have been drunk.
Did you attack the woman?
Yes.
And I must caution you that you're not obliged to make any statement unless you wish. But if you wish to make a statement, it'll be taken down in writing and may be used in evidence.
Yes, I know.
Do you wish to make a statement?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'll make a statement. I gotta get it off my mind.
And that was the end of a long trail. Alf Neil duly faced a criminal court jury which found him guilty of murder. The death sentence was subsequently commuted to imprisonment for life. The police and detectives did particularly good work in bringing him to justice. And although he must have felt reasonably secure when he was still free 2 months after the murder, he should have realized that a police file is never closed until the crime is solved. And that sooner or later, the vast majority of lawbreakers are apprehended. Truly, crime does not pay. And for this, we should be grateful to our hard-working, efficient, and determined police force. Let us always cooperate with them, wherever and whenever possible. Only names, place names, and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized from the files of the Victoria Police by Roland Strong, who now says goodbye until the same time next week, when there'll be another true story in this series, D-24, which is brought to you by the Victoria Police Force and produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.